In the weeks since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, we've been looking at the implications of the decision. The CDC reports half the people seeking abortions live at or below the poverty level, and 60% of people seeking abortions are women of color. Will these families get the support they need in a post-Roe world? Support like parental leave, food security, adequate health care, and child care assistance. And how will that happen? Gloria Purvis is an anti-abortion activist, a Catholic, and an anti-racist. She's also been advocating for a stronger social safety net for parents. She hosts the Gloria Purvis podcast, and she joins us now from Washington, D.C. via Skype. Welcome back to the program, Gloria.
So glad to speak with you again, Jane.
You have fought for years against abortion rights. You and I spoke before the Supreme Court overturned Roe. Tell us your reaction and reflection now, 1 week after the ruling.
Well, I have to say, it wasn't the big celebration because of the leak. I kind of was like, well, maybe this might happen. So when it did happen, I was like, okay, well, we still have plenty of work to do because there are plenty of states in the United States that still plan to have not only abortion legal, but plan to pay for other women to come into their state to seek abortion. And I fundamentally think abortion is unjust to women. I think it upholds the systems that oppress us. And so I'm hopeful that I'll be able to work with other women, whether they support abortion or not, on trying to institute the kinds of changes to make all our institutions, society, much less anti-woman and much more accepting of women as we are, whether we're mothering, pregnant, or doing any other caregiving or not.
So this fight is not over for you in your mind?
No. Oh, no, 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 absolutely not. No. Abortion is an injustice. And wherever states are offering it and funding it, what you find often is there's an asymmetrical emphasis on, I would say, marketing and funding abortion, particularly to poor women of color. It's really reproductive coercion, in my opinion, because they don't have all the other things that they need. But you see the states willing to fund abortion instead of giving the kind of adequate supports that poor women need. I feel it's more reproductive coercion going on for those women.
You have said, and the last time we spoke, in fact, you told me that Black women are used as mascots,
yes,
by supporters of Roe v. Wade.
And yes,
and yet 60% of people seeking abortions are women of color. You call, yes, it reproductive, mm-hmm, coercion. I mean, how do you square that?
I square it when I don't think it's a right to tell us to artificially interrupt a pregnancy and take the life of the child. So I don't see those as rights. I see those as violations of our rights. And when you have an emphasis in funding and attitude and marketing toward abortion, when these women are poor and they need everything else, they actually, if you look at the data, these women want the other things that, I'll put it like this, that rich white women take for granted. Because that seems to be the measure, right, that we are as Black women, because we're not rich and we aren't able to have access like white women are, therefore somehow we're deprived. And I'm like, well, the things that we really would want that white women already have or take for granted are, you know, clean water, not living in a food desert, having safe and affordable housing, good education, good jobs, maternal care, you know, insurance, all of those things, those basic things are what we want. And I find it just peculiar that the thing that is pushed or marketed toward us is abortion.
If there needs to be a sea change in thinking about support for women,
yes,
and children, flexible work, paid parental leave, adequate health care,
oh,
do,
yes,
you see stepped up efforts to make these things happen? Is there evidence of the realignment that you've been talking about now that Roe v. Wade has been overturned?
Well, I would say even before Roe v. Wade, right, we were having conversations about paid maternal health care. And I think you see more op-eds now challenging Republicans. What are you doing about paid maternal leave? Things like that. And a lot of states are looking at their state level policies as well. But we wanted to look at the federal government and say, what can we do to federalize across the country some kind of not only paid maternal leave, but maybe subsidized child care or universal child care, something that's got to help. I really wish we could have that monthly payment that we receive from the Biden administration for each child. I really wish we could start to see that again. And I actually would like to see that happen for children that are still in the womb before they're even born, that the parents could get that cash for the child in the womb as well. And frankly, I'm hoping, let me just say this, Jane, I'm hoping that right now women see this not so much as an opportunity to try to fight for abortion, but for us to actually fight to change the structures, because right now I think everything work and whatnot is really patterned after maleness. And I think we need to, you know, dream big and say, what could our culture, our society, our business, the way we interact with each other look like if it actually placed women at the center of it?
So to that point, we already have tremendous inequality in maternal health care, with maternal death rates for African Americans far higher than for whites.
Yep.
It seems that would only get worse when access to reproductive care is restricted. So what do you say to that, and how can that be adequately addressed right now?
Well, I actually don't think abortion actually solves for it. So the woman that has the abortion is still left in the same situation she was in when she was pregnant. You haven't addressed the underlying cause of whatever it is that's made her have a higher risk pregnancy, or maybe even people, it's not even a physical thing, it's more of a material thing. But you haven't taken her out of the situation. By removing the child from her womb does not make her richer, does not make her healthier, does not make her have affordable health care, does not make her have, you know, clean water, or make, you know, that she's not living in a food desert. You've just removed the child from the situation, not the woman. So I just haven't understood how, why people are considering that a solution.
Gloria Purvis is an anti-abortion activist, a Catholic, and an anti-racist. She also has been advocating for stronger social safety nets for parents. She hosts the Gloria Purvis podcast. Gloria, thank you.
Thank you, Jane.